Well, because it's the new year, I thought, you know, we always make these New Year's resolutions, but I didn't make any this year. I just determined in my heart, as I do all the time, things of God and to go deeper in God. But one thing we must do is refuse to let our past come up and rob us of our future. Lee, thank you for sharing that today. It was really encouraging, which we've heard your story, but, you know, things came against you, but you stood and you thought, you know, all these things that happened, is that finished now? But God has, at his perfect time, brought you through and you're still standing, you and Robin. And God has things for you, as you know. So, you know, we don't have to lie awake at night digging up old bones and picking at scars and things and reliving painful memories, because if we give them the opening, then the devil moves in and he takes up residence in our head. We all know what that's like. So we can't have that. We've all struggled and we've all with unresolved areas of our life. So how should we handle them? Well, instead of fighting battles you can't win, we just need to let Jesus' resurrection power sweep through our lives and sever the ties between you and the pain of your past. So for this year, 2024, for me, I plan and determine to be in the Word more. I've actually said no 3 times in the last 2 weeks to things. I know, it is amazing, because I'm a yes person. And they were things like, you know, people love our church, and I get these people wanting to come and preach here all the time, and I've said, oh, no, not at the moment, because I have to consider, you know, Graham and I at the moment. Graham's been privileged to go and stay with his mum through half the week and to look after her, and he's also, not that he would tell you, but he's got to have some more heart treatment, and he's got to have shock treatment in a few weeks to get his heart back in rhythm, because it beats far too fast, which makes him tired and, you know, things build up. So I have to consider all the things, and we're believing, you know, God hasn't finished healing things there, but we have to consider. So my plan is that I would say yes to what God would want me to say and no to, or not yet, to other things. So I've said no to having a funeral here this week, and I've said no to a couple other things, and I was quite just, I know, and it felt good, because I knew that if I'd said yes, I was taking it on myself. And then I have the burden of it and the stress of it and the worry of it. And so I want to be more effective for God, because I sense a busy year ahead. So in other words, we've got to work smarter, not harder, because we're all getting older. And my desire is to go deeper in the Lord, whereas I pray that that would be your desire as well. That this house, this place where God has planted us, would be covered in prayer. The prayer of our people that are united together. And, you know, when we come in unity together, and this is my first scripture, the scriptures tell us that God commands a blessing when we're in unity. So just let's have a look through Psalm. Let this be our year. Amen. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Isn't that amazing? The unity together, that's how much God impresses on us, to be in unity. Sure, we're allowed to have, you know, not to disagree with things, that's okay. We don't always see everything the same. That's because we're different. But when we're in unity and believing for the right things in this place, and then 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. How important is that? That we don't let divisions come in. That we don't let those little foxes come in and spoil what God has here. I want our church to be a place that is relevant to life and safe. I got a phone call from Sylvia's granddaughter, Sylvia and Gordon's granddaughter, Felicity. Felicity's been here in this church. She was in a wheelchair for quite a while. She's walking now. Her and her partner have had a baby. And she rang me and said, I don't feel connected to any church but yours, and I'd like you to dedicate our baby. And I thought, okay, they're not married. But God, you know. And I said I would be honoured. And so I think in February they're going to come here. They're bringing unsaved family with them, people that actually have never walked in a church before. And we're going to dedicate that baby and we're going to bless them. And it's the Holy Spirit's job then to convict and to move on that, isn't it? So that's what I want. I want our church to be a place that you can invite people. When John Hannaford was here, he was saying every couple of months they have an invitation service. That means you got to invite someone and they have maybe some testimonies or different things. We want this place to be not weird so that we can feel okay to invite people, yet the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is moving and He's doing what we do, what we can't do. That's what I want. And to achieve that and to grow in the Lord, we all need to look inward, don't we, and work on ourselves and to grow, and that God would take us higher. So I've got a scripture here, and it's actually a parable. And because parables say all sorts of things, don't they? Now, a parable, this is what a parable is, if you've forgotten. It's a simple story used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson, to teach great truth or to challenge the hearers to change their own behaviour. And Jesus, as we know, through the Gospels, used lots of parables and went over the heads of all the religious people. But he had this parable, and we read it, Luke 13:6. He also spoke this parable, Jesus speaking, of course. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answers and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Interesting, the same verse, verse 8 in the King James says, instead of saying dig around and fertilize it, he says, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And you know what dung is, don't you? Graham and I both grew up on farms and we know what dung is. And actually they used to collect the dung from after washing down the yard, put it in a tank thing, and they would fertilise the paddocks and things grew. So that's an interesting thing. So remember that this is a parable. And in the Old Testament, a fruitful tree was often used as a symbol of godly living. And Jesus pointed out what would happen to the other kind of tree, the kind that took valuable time and space and still produced nothing for the patient gardener. And by this illustration, Jesus warns the listeners that God would not tolerate forever their lack of productivity. So for 3 years, this tree hasn't produced anything. It's been in the same rut for 3 years. So think about your own life as we go through this. Now, the owner planted the tree in that soil. And the owner, of course, is God. And he knew that it could produce greatness, okay? And he planted it with that intention, that it would produce fruit. That's what it is supposed to do. Now, when God plants you in your soil, which represents your life, your situations, your family, and even your church, our church, you don't get to choose the soil. And, you know, you don't get to choose the pain that you go through. You don't get to choose the problems, the difficulties and the challenges that God planted you in. But if He planted you in that particular soil, then He knows what it's going to require. Not always an easy, safe life, not luxurious sand. It may require pains and problems in your life to produce greatness that God wants you to come from. And it's not the soil that's the problem, because all the other trees were fruitful except that one. It was the response of the tree that the soil was planted in. So the pain and the problems in our life cannot stop us unless we get in a rut. And it's always possible that we get in a rut, isn't it? We just go on doing the same old. What is that thing that they say? If you keep doing the same thing and expecting something different, well, that's not going to happen, is it? So we can get in a rut, and it's easy to get in a rut of just doing the same thing. But you see, the owner is God in this story, and the tree, it's you and me, okay? And instead of the tree producing in that soil it was planted in, it bore no fruit. So when he plants you and he allows you to go through pain and problems and circumstances, he backs off in this story, but he comes back each year to check on you. And he came back at the beginning of each year. When he comes back, he's not expecting the whinging and the whining or the complaining. He's not expecting a dried up tree that has become puny and weak and barely hanging on to faith. There is no fruit of the Spirit. He's not expecting that. He's expecting us to blossom and to prosper where he plants us. And the thing that got me about this story, it's been 3 years and God keeps coming back and nothing has changed. So I'm asking you, have you grown since last year? Have you changed those things that you keep doing, the same old, since last year? Are you going around the same mountain? Are you in the same rut? Because the enemy just wants you to go, well, that's just life now, that's my lot. Well, it's not. It's not. And he wants to come and destroy us, doesn't he, the enemy? That's what the Bible tells us. And the things that come against us, he wants them to wipe us out. But God uses those things to grow us up. Everyone goes through things, as Lee said today. But this tree, it didn't wither up. Others go through the same thing and it didn't wither up their tree, that's right, but actually made them blossom and become more fruitful. You see, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. They're all fruits of the Spirit and they should be coming up in us. They should be. You know, we don't have them all perfected, but are we working on the things that aren't in us? You know, there's nothing new under the sun. And, of course, all people go through things. There's no secret about that. And Jesus died. He died for everything that we would ever go through. So we're not alone. And really, there's no excuse for not being fruitful year after year. Okay, so the owner says here, we might as well cut it down, throw it into the fire. And that's my point today. This is our year. This is your year. Can you say that? This is my year. Come on. This is my year. And I believe this is our year. I'm excited about this year. I've had an expectant heart and excitement for a long time. But I'm like, let's declare it, that this year we're going to see some things, which means we're going to go through some things. But God gives us those things to see what's in us. Last week I mentioned about an olive tree and how olives, they look beautiful and they've got these beautiful leaves. The leaves on an olive tree have a bitterness in them which protects them from insects taking the olives. And when the olives, they go to make oil, they're pressed 4 times because the protection of that little core, in that seed inside them, has the best oil. And that's like God in us. When we feel like we're being crushed from all sides, it's like, no, that core in us can come out. And so I'm asking God, for everyone that's left here, we want 2 back. I'm asking God, I want 2 Janines back, okay? And 2 Janies and Peters and all the other people that have moved from this area. And then for those that have left because they came in and they maybe they weren't like lots of kids in Good News Kids, or there was no youth or young families and they left. I'm like, God, keep them here because they attract others. So we're asking for all these things this year. And we're I'm not looking for a worship team, I'm looking for worshippers. We're looking for worshippers, people that will worship God in spirit and in truth. And all these things come out of that. So we're not particularly saying, oh, I'm looking for a worship team, because we use YouTube, as you would have noticed. No, we're looking for worshippers, and let God bring out of that who he wants to use. So on a personal level, it might have been, years since some of you might be saying, well, I'm never going to achieve that. Lee, you could have said that. You could have went, oh, well, those promises back then that God gave me aren't going to come to pass. But you said yourself on Christmas Eve, something shifted. And we might say the same thing. I've been in this cycle for so long. I just think, oh, well, this is my lot in life. I'm just going to forget thinking about that anymore. But, you've got to stop saying that. You've got to start saying, God, I thank you that it's coming. God, I thank you that you're going to do what you've given me in my heart to do. I get the privilege in March of speaking to all the BMI Next Gen. I've been asked to go and speak at that conference, and I'm thinking, oh, wouldn't they want someone younger? And I thought, you know what? We have wisdom. The more things we go through, the more things we can help. And I thought, if I'm going to tell those young people something, it's this. Whatever you do now will come later. Listen to the news about this, that Epstein sex stuff. All these people that have been named, they thought they'd never be named. They thought it was all hidden. But God says nothing shall be hidden. So if I could tell young people that what you do now has an effect on later on, and if you've done something, confess it, get it out, because then the enemy can't hold it against you. I bet there's some sweating people there. So start saying, I can, and this will happen, and thank God in advance for it. Don't be continually tripped up by the same things over and over. Jesus, in this story, he put himself between God and a fruitless tree. And he says, he's the one that goes, no, leave it alone. Just leave it. Give it another year. You see, you don't have to talk to the tree anymore. God says, put it on me. I will take the tree's place, like we talked about in communion. He said, I'll hang on the tree. I'll take the curse. I'll take what they deserve. I'll take the ramifications of it all. And Jesus in that moment became the middleman between the tree. And notice what Jesus begged for. He said, this is going to be a year of fruitfulness, but it's going to require some things of you. You can't just go through this year like any other year. He says, I know it's been hard and you've never felt like things are never going to change, and you feel like you're never going to be free, or but you've got to determine in your heart that this year things will change for you and your families. And for each of us, it looks something different. But let's declare that this year is the year of fruitfulness. He didn't say give it one more year so we can keep doing the same old things we've always done. And I'm not talking about giving it a year and crossing your fingers as people do and wish for the best. No, we're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to do things. And you're going to have to let God dig and dung you. Well, what does that mean to dig you? It means to dig around the tree, because the soil around the tree becomes hard and the nutrients cannot get in. You know yourself in the gardens, those gardeners, when the ground is so hard, the water runs off it. And it's got to be dark and softened and allow the Holy Spirit in. And some of us have hardened our hearts to the things that we need to change. And so God wants to dig up things. And a lot of us know that God wants to dig deep. He wants to dig deep to those things in us that no one knows about, that he wants to change in us, to grow in us, to let go of. And so he tears it all up and digs. And we think, well, what the heck's going on here? But you know, when you get dug, it softens you. It softens you because the Holy Spirit can now get in and the nutrients can now get in and we can be watered by God. But in order for that to happen, we've got to allow Him to dig deep. God put everything He needed in this earth. He put the oil in the ground. He put the gold in the mountains and the coal to keep us warm. But He put it out of the reach of lazy people. And this year will have no change for you unless you are willing to dig deep. Willing. You've got to be willing. Sometimes there's some hard work to be done. And all you can do is do what you can do, and God will do what you can't do. That's all you have to do. That's the best thing. He doesn't expect you to do what you can't, but He will do that for you. So this is our year. Dig deep this year. Dig deep into the book. Dig deep into prayer. Dig deep into the church. Love people. Serve. I love that. And if our lives become fruitful, then the church will become fruitful, which we already are bearing fruit. I know that, but we can always be better at things. And the digging will make room for growth. Then He says, I'm going to dung you. Well, we know that dung is manure, it stinks and it's bad. But do you realize that God can use horrible things to bring miracle growth? The one thing in your life that may be so obnoxious that you can hardly stand is the very thing that God takes and throws on you, on a fruitless tree, to make it come alive. Without the dung or the fertilizer, the tree will die, and the fertilizer isn't pleasant. And you go through things that stink in life. There'll always be in every relationship, sooner or later, something that stinks. Sometimes your family will stink, your job will stink, your finances or your health might stink. But God doesn't waste it. He takes that and He uses it as fertilizer. But sadly, people give up, and instead of growing, they let go. But if you would only realize that these are the times that God can do the greatest things in your life, and then according to the parable, He will come back every year and check on you. And if nothing has changed year after year, then let this be your year. Let this be. You know, when our marriage was rocky and bad, as some of you know, God threw lots of manure on it. And I tell you, we have grown. I didn't give up, and God didn't give up. And He restored the most beautiful thing, and there's fruit coming from our relationship. We've also been asked to go to the Philippines in September to give our testimony. Because no matter where you are in the world, people are people and they go through the same things. And if God can use something like that to help others, then I'm glad He threw the dung on it. Because that's what helps other people. And you've got stories in your life. Lee, you can help and encourage so many people. You could encourage Karen. I don't know if you know Karen, but Karen's from Pantry, has been diagnosed with that blood cancer, and she's a woman of faith. But I know there's something that you could impart and encourage her with. You see, I know that all things work together for good, and I'm more than a conqueror, and so are you. So don't be discouraged when these things come. Just know that God is going to use everything that He throws on you or that comes against you so that you can blossom and you can be who God wants you to be. So if you feel that God is digging around you and throwing some dung on you, then be glad. Be glad. And say, God, okay, I don't like what I'm going through, but I know it's just that I'm going through it. And His promises always to be with us. Just like Christine said on the train. She had a moment of sadness and of anxiousness. And I'm on a train all on my own coming from the North Coast. But God, there you are. Jesus loves you. He will always encourage us. So get excited if you feel like there's some digging going on. Instead of being dunged out and cut down and thrown away, because that happens. That happens. There's so many people we hear of, great preachers, and the next thing they're down and out and they don't get back up. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 8, he says, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He said, you know, everything I've been through and I've lost. I've been beaten but with rods. He was bitten by snakes, left for dead, stoned, falsely imprisoned, lied on, run out of town, tortured. But can I just tell you, he said, count it all as dung. Because after that, he wrote half the New Testament. And don't we are encouraged by Paul's writings in the Bible? Wow, his mess became the message, and we can be encouraged by it. David said in Psalm 83:10, it's not up there, he says, "My enemies became dung." Another translation says, "The very thing trying to destroy you, this God will use as fertilizer." There's little things that are in us that just keep coming back and back. They're the things we've got to work on. They're the things we've got to grow in. And in Luke 11, Jesus arrives at the tomb of Lazarus and his sister comes out and says, "Lord, you're too late. You should have come 3 days ago because he's been dead for 4 days. And now he stinks and this is bad." But in my mind, Jesus is smiling and saying, you don't understand this girl. This dung, this stink, this dead is just a fertilizer for the supernatural. Yep. And this kind of environment is just fertilizer for miracles. We're miracles. You're a miracle because you're here and we're still standing. So let him dig it and let him dung it if you need to. Okay? Because Jesus said, "I'm the one, I'll take the shame and I'll take the curse." He's done it all. There's nothing more that he could do. So I pray that you would leave this place today with a faith that is beginning to grow again and come alive. And before this year is over, you're going to have time to turn around in Jesus' name. And I just believe that for the church as well. You know, this church, over the 30-odd years I've been through, has crashed and looked like it's going to burn and got back up again. And, you know, it happens, because that happens in churches. And if you've ever been in one long enough, you've seen stuff. But we're not going to burn. We're not going to crash. We're going to keep standing, keep believing that God will bring us to the fullness, that we will blossom in this place, put our roots down deep and let him dig and be united in that. Stand together, cover this place with prayer. Amen. Amen.